Well, boys and girls, we all like a lovely sound. We all like sweet music. We like to hear the instruments playing, the violins, and all those instruments that produce lovely sounds. Well, in the temple, in the most holy place, God wanted a lovely sound. And we read about it in the book of Exodus. And it's concerning the high priest. It says that the high priest, whenever he goes to minister, his sound shall be heard when he goeth into the holy place before the Lord. So here's the high priest, and he had to go into the most holy place, and that's a picture of heaven. And he went in there, and his sound had to be heard. He gave a sound. You know, the high priest had very special clothes. We haven't time to talk about all his clothes today. He wore a turban, a white turban, with a plate of gold on the front of it, which said, Holy to the Lord. He wore a white robe that went right down to his feet, a tunic. And then he wore a blue robe that went over that, went down to his knees. And then on top of that, he had a breastplate. And on the breastplate, there were special stones, 12 stones. And he had a sash around his waist. But down at the bottom of his garments, there were bells that hung. And as he walked, those bells jingled, and they made a lovely, sweet sound. And whenever he went in to minister before the Lord, the sound could be heard. His sound shall be heard, God said, in the most holy place. And the Bible calls that the joyful sound. And so it was. And you know, whenever our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, he went to heaven. And he's our great high priest. And his sound is sweet in heaven. He gives a sweet sound every time that he moves, every time that he is seen, every time that people look upon him, whether the angels or whether triumphant and glorified saints or whether the Father, his sound is sweet. And the Father especially loves that sound. And you may be asked this morning, well, how can he give such a good sound? What is there about him that sounds so sweet in heaven, that resonates in glory? Well, it's because of his life on earth, because of his sufferings and death. That's the sweet sound that resonates from him in heaven. Because of the way he lived and died on earth, it's like sweet incense, the sweet sound of the one who suffered for us. Now, I'm sure you've heard of violin. It's a lovely instrument. It makes sweet music in the hand of a skilled violinist. It's lovely. But the good sound is not all about the player. And it's not all about the strings and the length of the strings and all of that. It's also about the box, the whole instrument. And what is especially important for the sound of a good violin is the wood, the timber from which it is made. Making a violin is a skilled work, and choosing the right wood is the most important thing of all. Not just the type of wood, there are various types of wood that can be used, but where that wood come from, how that wood grew, the climate in which it grew, and even the time of the year in which it was cut down. All of those factors are very, very important to get the best sound out of a violin. And one violin maker of olden times was never satisfied with the wood that he was getting to make his violins. Maybe people wouldn't notice, but he noticed. He knew how a violin was made. He knew how to get the best sound. But the difficulty was getting the wood. But one day he got wood from some very high mountains. Timber from 12,000 feet high, up in a very wild area, very wild region, very wild climate. On the ridge, timber on a wild ridge that suffered winds, high winds and very severe cold in the winter and heat in the summer. And he discovered that this particular wood was excellent sounding when it was made into a violin. Those trees were stunted in their growth. Those trees, the branches were just going one way because of the wind all the time. On the wind side of the tree, the bark hardly grew. It was a tree in adverse circumstances, a tree in a difficult situation, a tree that nearly seemed to be on its knees all the time just to try to survive up there. It's like people. Some people who suffer a lot are very sweet people. They give a sound out of their lives that only suffering has brought to them. But there was no one like the man of sorrows who suffered. There was no one who had to go through the deep, severe things of life like Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was a man of sorrows. He grows up like a tender plant, like a root out of a dry ground in a difficult place. He hath no form nor comeliness. He doesn't look like the great timbers and the beautiful things that the worldling sees in people. No, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hide our faces from the suffering and from the ugliness of the suffering. And the thought of a man having to go through that agony and that pain is a reproach. And we can hardly look at it. And yet he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The man of sorrows. The tree in the greatest of adversity who was cut down on the cross for us. And now he's in heaven, like a sweet violin. The sweetest man in glory. That sweet sound that the Father hears and loves. The sound of the man of sorrows glorified. No sound like it. But it's not only in heaven, it's gone into all the earth, that sound. And God's people hear the joyful sound every Lord's Day when they hear Christ crucified, preached, and proclaimed. And the day you've heard the joyful sound, and you could rejoice in it. And so we thank God for our Savior Jesus Christ, for the sweetness of heaven and the sweetness of earth, and in him is all our trust. And I hope, boys and girls, your trust is in him too. Let us pray. Lord, bless the boys and girls again this morning. We do thank thee for them all. Give them understanding. And may they know the joyful sound truly. And may the gospel resonate in their hearts. And may they come to know and love Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.